This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture with Tina Camellia, Sharmila Gunnison and Kelly Anissa. We're talking about the Fever Byron and the Momo Challenge today. To join the conversation, you can tweet us at BFM Radio, WhatsApp 018-789-8899 or call us at 7732900.
And on Twitter, we're asking you, who is more gullible to online hoaxes? So 78% of you have said parents, 16% of you said children, and 7% of you voted the authorities.
Okay, so that's because of the Momo Challenge, which is a social media challenge that first came to light last year. It purportedly enticed children and teens to perform a series of tasks that get gradually more dangerous, including performing acts of violence and committing suicide, similar to the Blue Whale Challenge. It allegedly reaches children through social media, instructing them to perform these challenges, and those who refuse are threatened. And these messages typically include frightening and gory images of Momo.
And the challenge died down for a while, but recently it had resurfaced, claiming that it had reached worldwide proportion and parents warning each other to watch out for their kids' online safety. So a flurry of social media posts from panicked parents made its round of this picture of Momo, which reads as warning, please read, this is real, inform everyone you can.
With too many exclamation marks,
yes,
in caps.
Yes.
And in red writing.
And quite a terrifying picture, lah. I mean, I know we're radio, unfortunately, but
yeah.
I think you're lucky you're not looking at it.
Lucky for you, but not for us. You know, and yet experts in multiple countries have reported no indication that children are being driven to committing acts of violence, self-harm or suicide.
So how did the Momo Challenge manage a comeback? On the line to help us answer this is psychologist Vizla Kumaresan. Vizla, what is fear and why is it important?
Fear is a normal human response that is built into our systems to keep us safe. That would be the very, very basic definition of fear. Fear keeps us safe. Fear is the one that makes sure we look both ways before we cross the street. Fear is also what drives us to cross the road a little faster when we see a car or a bus moving down the road towards our direction. Fear makes us be sure before we make a decision in which our safety can be affected. And it's an important part of human survival.
And what is meant by gullibility?
Gullibility, the best way to understand it, I suppose, is how prone we are to believe information. Of course, how much faith we put in that information, and from that faith, what we do in relation to that information.
So why are some people more gullible than others?
So it seems that, it goes back to how we view the world. If we view the world as one that is unsafe, one in which we constantly have to be vigilant, one in which everybody or everything is out to get us or out to negatively affect us, we are going to be more prone to falling, we are going to be more gullible to news in which our view of that world is confirmed.
And what do people aim to achieve by carrying out these hoaxes?
Well, I think number one would be a sense of control, and this also comes back to the way we live our lives. Many of us, our parents raised us with stories which impose fear on us. You know, if you don't eat your food, this particular hantu or that particular ghoul will come and, do something nasty to you. So it's sort of built into our cultural understanding of how the world is. The fact is when adults do that with children, adults obviously feel a sense of satisfaction from having the child do what they want them to do. And this is something that we learn and we perpetuate throughout, and we enjoy knowing that somebody out there is going to do what we want them to do. That's, I think, the main reason why people carry out hoaxes, that they have that level of control over other people and they get a huge satisfaction out of that out of knowing that.
And why do these hoaxes keep resurfacing?
Well, for different reasons, you know. This is why, for example, why some ghost stories are so prevalent. Some ghost stories have existed throughout the ages. You know, all these stories of people doing phenomenal things, they are also perpetuated throughout the ages. It is something that seeks, you know, speaks to our sense of amazement. It is something that speaks to our sense of, you know, us not knowing everything there is to know in this world. And that there, you know, and that speaks to some of our fear as well. There's so much that's unknown out there.
And what role does social media play in perpetuating these hoaxes?
Well, the most immediate role it plays is that, you know, it's a very easy way to spread the hoax. It has a very wide and far reach. And the other thing is that, you know, social media blurs the lines between what's real and what's not real, what's individual and what's not individual. And so this also makes it harder to suss out whether or not something is real or fake.
And what is your advice for detecting these hoaxes, especially on social media?
I think that there has to be, you know, larger internet safety literacy. That is something that needs to happen. People need to understand what internet safety is, and learn to gauge how to gauge whether or not something is real or a hoax. And this doesn't just apply to hoaxes. It also applies to things like fake news. You know, think about all the WhatsApp messages that keep getting sent around in all our groups without people verifying the facts. So it's the same kind of principles, the same kind of philosophy that goes to hoaxes as well. Asking questions, developing a sense of curiosity about it. Where is it coming from? Who is saying it? Why is this suddenly so popular? Just asking questions around it and not, you know, automatically following something. And, you know, the other thing is also realizing that the world around us, while may not be completely safe, and it's not possible, is to a large extent fairly safe. And our social worlds are safe. We can navigate around it in a way that's not too hard for us. We can believe in the goodness of other people, that not all people are out to get us. The universe is not out to get us. So, you know, just shifting the worldview is also a really good way of, you know, becoming less susceptible or less gullible to these hoaxes. It's a harder thing to do.
That was psychologist Visla Kumarasan explaining the psychology behind gullibility, fear, and the Momo challenge.
So even though, you know, to be clear, the Momo challenge is deemed to be a hoax, unofficial copies of popular cartoons that are uploaded to video streaming platforms have had footage of Momo edited in, exposing children to, you know, distressing images. And of course, that's largely due to the fact that the signature look of the Momo challenge is this demonic looking woman with chicken like features, you know, with a bulging, you know, with bulging eyes and a wide sort of creepy grin. So even if the challenge itself is fake, the image of this woman bird hybrid associated with the challenge can actually still be quite shocking and cause terror to young children who aren't expecting for it to pop up in their cartoons, right? Ironically, the sculpture, which was called Mother Bird, is actually an art piece. It was created by artist Keisuke Aizawa. And several media have actually reported that Aizawa revealed that he felt responsible for the widespread hysteria that it has now caused.
Which is such a shame.
Yes, I know.
Because if you look at this sculpture, it is actually a very well done sculpture. I was actually quite impressed with how... It's not super realistic, but it's got this depth in this piece of work that you could appreciate as a, you know, as a piece of art.
And on The Atlantic, Taylor Lawrence analyzed the Blue Whale Challenge, which is also a hoax, and how kids are eating Tide Pods, and those were not that was not a hoax, and the Momo Challenge. She wrote, all of these challenges and trends follow the same formula. A local news station runs a piece overstating a dangerous teen trend, and concerned parents flocked to social media to spread the word.
Right.
So actual teenagers and anyone else who lives their life extremely online mock them for their being so naive. And brands and influencers hop on the trend, parodying it and exploiting it for their own gain. And trolls take advantage of those who believe it's real, often by creating and posting content that seemingly confirms parents' worst fears.
Yeah, and as you can see on our social media, on our poll, Twitter poll, most people think that it is the parents.
And I think it's not surprising, right? Because one of the things, and Vizla pointed this out, this tendency to think of the world as being much worse than it is. With the internet, I sometimes feel like that's amplified for parents because they feel like they don't understand the world that their kids exist in. And so every one of these stories that are shared, they don't think about, you know, it may not be real. You know, immediately their fears jump to the worst case scenario.
But that's normal, right? Because we fear the unknown.
Yes.
We think the worst of the unknown. We know our family and friends and we can kind of, you know, live with our guts down around them. But with the internet, if you're not occupying that space, you kind of fear the worst when your children are on the internet, this space that you don't explore.
Yeah. And in this case, I think it was made worse by the fact that those traditional places that we would go to for facts, a lot of media outlets were also taken in, right, by this. And they also thought that this was a genuine challenge that was going out. And so I'm thinking, you know, even as we give people advice to fact check and verify, it gets increasingly more difficult when it's being reported by the outlets that you think are reliable.
Yes. Yeah, that's a good point, Sherman. I was wondering whether we should have changed our Twitter poll options to, instead of parents, children, teachers, or the authorities, that one of the options should be the media.
Yeah.
Whether we are the ones who are gullible, jump the gun, because we always want first dibs, right?
The news cycle, and you want to be the first one to report something.
Yeah.
And how far do you check something before you report on it?
That's right. I mean, but let us know if you have encountered Momo, whether while watching cartoons with your kids, or whether someone has forwarded you the image or the threats. And let us know if, as a work of art, whether the mother bird is a creeper or a stunner. I mean, I really want to know what your thoughts are, Sharmila, because you produce Front Row and I value your views
on
this.
The resident art critic. You know what? I actually think that in context, mother bird is a great work of art. It's really interesting. And I first saw the image of Momo, just the face. And so it's creepy, right? And so it's a good example of how out of context things can take on such different meanings. I mean, even the title mother bird, when you look at the whole piece, you kind of get it. The eyes are also actually bird-like eyes.
Yeah.
They're not meant to be creepy. But yes, I feel bad for the artist. I feel like feeling responsible for having created this mass panic is a really big burden to place on him.
Yeah. I don't know if he will ever... Like, he would be like the artist who created the Momo Challenge.
You know, exactly.
And some artists, they carry that throughout the rest of their career,
yes,
right?
Yes, exactly. Or at the very least, subconsciously, it might affect the kind of work that he creates.
Yeah. Well, that's a shame. And also, I think we are reaching the end of our show, but you can always keep the conversation going. You can tweet us at BFM Radio, WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899, or look us up on Facebook, BFM The Bigger Picture. Before we end the show, Kelly, one last check on social media for the Twitter poll results.
Okay, so who is more gullible on to online hoaxes? Well, most of you, 79% of you said parents, 15% of you said children, 7% say the authorities, and well, teachers are at 0%.
I think if we change teachers to the media, it might skew the results.
Yeah, I think so. Another poll for another day, maybe.
That's right. But for now, this is it. But if you miss any part of the show, you can download the podcasts from our BFM website, bfm.my, from our BFM app, or from Spotify. Coming up at 3 p.m. on Earth Matters, Juliet Jacobs speaks with entomologist and science journalist Dr. Lau Yahua about the illegal trade of a tarantula species that is native to Sarawak. Till then, here's Don't Fear the Reaper by Blue Oyster Cult on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.